Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Look at verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. What a great start. The word of the Lord came to me. It wasn't his own words. It wasn't somebody else's word. It was the word of the Lord. Okay, well, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Very encouraging first part. He found it difficult to believe the last statement there. "Our sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." He was thinking more about his own words in his mouth than the possibility of God's word in his mouth. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send to you, and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Now that can be slightly, can leave you wondering. When the Lord tells you he's anointed you, he's appointed you, he's put the word in your mouth, and he's, you know, everything, wherever I'm sending you, I want you to command certain things. But then he finishes that off with, "Do not be afraid." Now, God knows he's going to send him into some situations that are going to freak him out. And so he just encourages him, "Look, I'm going to put you in situations that are going to be not easy. They're not going to necessarily go the way you want them to. So don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." So God obviously knows he's going to be in some situations that he's going to need rescuing from. God knows how to encourage us, doesn't he? "I've anointed you, I've appointed you, but when you're in there, I'll be with you because I'm going to need to rescue you, because where you're going is not necessarily going to be easy. People aren't necessarily going to want to hear what you're going to come with, but the word of the Lord is in your mouth. When the word of the Lord is in your mouth, something is going to happen. When it's our own words in our own mouth, then not a lot's going to take place. But when the word of the Lord is in our mouth, something's going to take place. Why is God talking to us at this time? Why do we believe that God wants the church in the nation to be a people that are devoted to him? A people stretching themselves out before him. A people that are dealing with sin quickly in their lives. A people who are not allowing evil in their tent. Why is God talking about this kind of stuff? Because of ultimately what he wants to do in the nation. But in this context where Jeremiah is obviously having an encounter with God, or God is speaking to him, God is talking about the word that is in his mouth is going to have an effect in the nation. But it comes out of a moment or a time or a life where God is beginning to bring him before him, saying, "I want you to be devoted to me. I want you to stretch yourself out before me." In that context of meeting with God, God reaches out and begins to touch him. Look at verse 9. "Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. And he says, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms.'" That's pretty awesome. "To uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." So in this place where he's stretching himself out before God, where he is allowing God to do something, God touches his mouth, but then he puts the word of the Lord in front of him. "The word of the Lord came to me. 'What do you see, Jeremiah?'" And it goes on from there. Why do we want to stretch ourselves out before God? Because God wants a vessel that he can pour something out of into somebody else's situation. Why is God talking to the church in the nation at this time about devoting itself to the Lord? Not running after the next thing somewhere else. Not looking for something somewhere else to try and import it. But why is God saying to the church, come on, get before me, devote yourself to me, stretch yourselves out before me. Let me come upon you in a fresh way. Because there is something that God wants to speak and something that God wants to do in the nation, so that the nation stands up and has and God has their attention, because God wants to do something that we haven't seen for many, many years. Jeremiah gets the word of the Lord. He sees something. How many of you are aware that your mouth can be full of your own opinions, your own angle on something, your own understanding, your own perceptions, what you like, what you don't like, and all of that kind of stuff? You know, when something goes on, how many of us come out with our own opinion quicker than we might do something in terms of God's opinion, God's perspective on it? With Jeremiah, what was God doing? He was sifting through his life, checking his heart. Because if God was going to put him in a situation to release something through him, then he wanted to make sure that what was going to, firstly, what Jeremiah saw was what God saw, but then what was going to come out of his mouth was going to be the word of the Lord and not the word of Jeremiah. Because when the word of the Lord comes out of your mouth, something of life, something of power, something of the supernatural dynamic of God gets released when the word of the Lord comes, than if it's the word of Clive or the word of Jonathan or the word of Chad or the word of whoever. There's something weighty when the word of the Lord comes than when it's just our word. What's the difference between our word and the weightiness of God? The difference is your life being stretched out before him. That is the difference. When your life is stretched out before him, God can give you one sentence and you speak that one sentence and something of God is released in a way that many, many paragraphs in our own words will not release life in the same way. Jesus said, didn't he, in prayer, we're not heard for our many words. Just turn to Matthew chapter 6 for a minute. Verse 33, really well known verses here. And you could probably all quote them off by heart. What's Matthew 6, 33? What is it? But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Right. There's two things going on here. The first part of the verse, God is talking about his eternal purposes. The second part is temporal things. So he's saying, if to seek my kingdom and righteousness, to seek my eternal purposes first, and then all the temporal things will follow. So what is God doing at this time? To devote yourself to him, to stretch yourself out to him, allows God to get hold of us in a fresh way so that our perspective on life is eternal, not temporal. God is trying, if we can use that word, to get the church's attention, us included, to understand that we're here for his eternal purposes and there is not long left before God's going to wind things up. And therefore, we know that God, it says in the word, doesn't it, that God sets eternity in the hearts of men. But what does that mean? What that means is there's something in man that pursues something beyond himself. Now, if he finds God, that's great, but many people find something else to try and fulfill themselves. And as we know, that doesn't happen because what they find is something temporal that can only please for a moment or for a period of time. But God is saying to us, seek first my kingdom and righteousness, which is seek first my eternal purposes in everything you do. So eternal decisions in our lives please God. Temporal decisions in our lives please us. Everything that God wants has eternal purposes and eternal consequences. Therefore, as we seek him and his righteousness first, there's something of eternity that is released in our lives, through our lives, to touch somebody else's life. Why do we want to come with the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord is eternal. The word of the Lord goes on forever. The word of the Lord will never fail. The word of the Lord always brings about everything that it is accomplished or sent out to do. The word of the Lord will always come good. And so here Jesus is saying, seek first my kingdom and righteousness. Seek first my purposes. Seek first my life. Seek first my eternal purposes and righteousness. The great thing is, if you do that, God will give you all of the temporal stuff anyway. You know when you go after the temporal stuff, and sometimes you get stuff, or you it's not when you've got it or whatever it might be, you're never that satisfied anyway. And sometimes you realize you made the wrong decision and bought the wrong thing anyway. But how many of you know when you seek God's kingdom and righteousness first and something temporal comes into your life from him, it always seems to be the best, because God does want to bless you. But all of that comes out of the eternal purposes of God. That's why then Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care of all that lot. The temporal things will come just as a result. But seek first my kingdom and righteousness. What is seeking first his kingdom? It's not just seeking first God in a meeting. Seeking first his kingdom and righteousness or eternal purposes are the daily decisions that we make in our lives. So the choices we make determine whether we're pursuing something eternal or something temporal. What you feed will captivate your heart. What you give your time to will captivate your desires. What you feed becomes stronger in your life. Now, we know there's a battle that rages inside, but as, you know, eternal things, temporal things, eternal things, temporal things. Why does God say, devote yourself to me, stretch yourself out before me? Because when you do that, you allow the eternity of God to come upon you and your perspective changes, because the eternity of God and his perspective on your life and on his purposes change the way you think, change your outlook, change your perceptions. Something of God permeates through you when you stretch yourself out before him. You get a fresh understanding, or you get caught up with something beyond yourself or beyond your own choices and decisions. Something of him captivates you in a fresh way to say, God, I want to give myself more fully to you and your purposes. And the desire for temporal stuff loses its taste or loses its sweetness or loses the attraction, because there's something else that is being fed that is gaining strength and momentum in your life. So seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Doesn't sound very positive or faithy, does it? But it is true. The eternal purposes of God, in one sense, are outside of time, but yet God operates within time because we're within time. The eternal purposes for God for your life and my life are determined by the choices you make today And that affects the kind of eternity that we live in tomorrow. Sounds a bit weird. But the choices you make today set up the way you live tomorrow. It creates a momentum for the way you live tomorrow. Yesterday, I went off once a month for a day. I just go off and spend time praying and just going through some stuff, writing things down, getting my thoughts of what's God been doing over the last few weeks and what's happening, how things going and all of that. And I mean, you're doing it all the time, but just once a month, I go off for a day just to kind of pray and end up praying quite a lot into the church and into other stuff and whatever else. And God really was challenging me when I first began to pray and asked me, how much are you really living for my eternal purposes? I mean, I felt the Lord asked me yesterday, is it a job? I mean, I don't see what I do as a job at all. I don't click into work at 8 o'clock in the morning and click out at 5 o'clock. I don't click on or off. You're just on all the time. Because it's not a job. It's not a 9 to 5. It's not a salary. It's not a, you know, employment thing. It's not a contract or anything like that for me. I couldn't care less if I had a contract or not or what it stipulates. You know, for me, it's like, this is what God's called me to. And so therefore, this is what I'm doing. This is what I live. But yet, in that context, you know, God sort of always asks you questions, doesn't he? Because he always does a heart check on you. And he wants to see. And it's interesting, when God asks you a question, what's the first response that comes into your mind? Because that's actually what's in the seat of your heart. And when the Lord asked me this question yesterday, my first response was, oh, I need to have a think about that. And at that moment, it was like, wow, if I need to have a think about it, then I'm not living in the way that God wants me to. Now, it's not that I was living bad or anything like that, but you know, God's God, isn't he? And God likes to just make sure we're hot. And so God often asks us questions. God, I don't know for you guys, but God doesn't often rebuke me. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you blooming idiot. What are you doing? For goodness sake, get a grip with your life. I don't know. God doesn't tend to talk to me like that. And pastorally, hopefully we don't. Well, I don't. Anyway, I don't know about you, Gary. I've heard you give people a grilling. But what God often does, he asks a question. And by asking the question, you answer the question and it gives you, that's where I'm at. And so for me, I didn't feel condemned, I didn't feel put down. It was like, God, I want to stretch myself out in a fresh way then so that you can come upon me, your weightiness, your presence, whatever you want to do, so that whatever you put into my heart, whatever you put into my life, it will be the word of the Lord, if you like, and not just my thing. That I'll seek your kingdom first. I'm not, you know, the temporal stuff is like, fine, you know. God said the other day, didn't he, when I shared with you, that he measures riches by who he is, not in houses, cars, and money in the bank. And therefore, if we're in him, we are rich in every way, spirit, soul, and body. We lack for nothing. Whether you've got 5 quid in the bank or 5 million in the bank, because we're rich in every way, the person who has 5 million is not more wealthy than the person who's got £5. As far as God's concerned, both, if they're born again, are rich in him in every way. Therefore, we lack no good thing. So therefore, if we understand that, it's like, why do we chase after something temporal? Why do we battle with temporal things? If we understand that we're rich in every way, and that's, if we understand that, and Jesus said, seek my kingdom of righteousness first, then it's like, I don't have to seek those things anymore. I don't have to go after those things anymore. I don't have to be half-hearted or lukewarm anymore. I can be fully moving, seeking God's kingdom of righteousness first, because he'll take care of all the other things, whether it's health, whether it's finance, whether it's relationships, whatever it might be. This morning, we just need to get before the Lord. And not just do a little prayer and shundai a little bit, but actually really from our hearts. Do you want the weightiness of God on your life? Don't know. Do you want the weightiness of God? There's something of the supernatural life of who God is that we have in our lives, but he wants to see a greater release of. And it's not just healings and miracles, but the supernatural dimension of who God is. And some of that comes from the devotion, stretching yourself out, and the weightiness of God coming upon you. There's something, when your heart is captivated in that way, there's just something of God that begins to get released in a fresh way that then begins to affect other people's lives. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you like, that comes from our lives, through our lives, into other people's lives. It's giving God the space and time for himself to come upon us. So that he can reveal something of himself in a fresh way. So that your heart is captivated. It's very easy to pray for results, isn't it? God, we want to see this. God, we want to see that. Let's pray for this. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for the other. But the word often says, and like it says in Job 11 there, if you devote your heart to him, stretch out your hands to him. If you deal with the sin that is in your hand and keep evil out of your tent, then a whole series of things will take place. Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you got concerns this morning about temporal things in life? Now, I'm not saying we just totally ignore them and we just don't think about them. We're not wise in terms of decisions we make and all of that sort of stuff. But are there temporal things? Are there bills you need to pay? Are there circumstances in your life? Are there things going on that you're worrying about, you're concerned about, you're focused on, and they're taking time, they're taking energy, they're having an effect on you? Now, there's everyday things in life that we need to deal with and we have to work through and all of that kind of thing. But are they a worry? Are they a concern? Are they affecting you in that kind of way? Have they captivated some kind of thing in some way in your life? One of the ways of dealing with that is not what we would think in the natural. Okay, I need to pray about that and get that resolved. But the word seems to say, if you seek my kingdom and righteousness first, all these things will be added to you as well. If you devote yourself to me, stretch yourself out, then all those things that follow. God seems to step in and overrule in all kinds of situations. God seems to then become involved in another level in our lives without us sometimes even having to pray through stuff, because there's something of a devotion, something of seeking him, something of pursuing him that is going on that then supersedes that shopping list of prayers that says, well, God, would you do this for me? Would you sort that out for me? Or I've got an issue here or a problem there or a need there. There's something of God's life that is released and seems to then begin to take over in certain ways. When we're seeking him, his kingdom and his righteousness first. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Just do a heart check. Do a response check right now. Are there things that concern you? Are there things that are worrying you? Are there things that are going on in the background of your life that are becoming the backdrop in certain ways, certain issues, situations, practical things, circumstances. First thing to do is just hand them all over to the Lord anyway. Just give them all to Him. Literally, Father, I just give you everything right now, every worry, every concern, every circumstance, every situation, everything that I perceive as need, I just hand that over to you right now. Father, forgive me for concentrating on those, for letting those things worry me and being concerned, for not trusting you, for thinking, well, you're not going to give to me or provide to me or sort this one out or be in the midst of the whole thing. Father, forgive me for putting trust in myself, for depending on myself, for worrying about where this is going to come from or how this is going to be met or what's going to happen here. Father, I take my eyes off those circumstances right now. I take my eyes off what I see right now, and I place my eyesight on who you are and what you say and who, what you release into my life. Father, I want to pursue you in a fresh way. I want to get after you in a fresh way. I want to be an eternal person, not a temporal person. I want to get after your eternal purposes in a greater way than I have done before, Father. And I thank you that as I seek your kingdom and righteousness first, you take care of all the rest. You provide for whatever I need. But Father, I want to pursue you, your eternal purposes, your eternal things today. I want to pursue your word, your truth, your life, your heart. What you want to do in my life, what you want to do in others' lives, what you want to do in my nation, the kind of church that you want to raise up in this nation that is devoted to you, to one another, and to your purposes. Father, I choose right now to be an eternal person with eternity set in my heart, to pursue you, to seek you, to know you, to get after you in a fresh way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God shows him two things. One is the branch of an almond tree, and that the other was a boiling pot. It was interesting. God says to him, what do you see? Now he saw both things there, but the first thing he said was, I see the branch of an almond tree. Now Aaron's rod budded overnight. From what seemed to have no life, overnight it budded and blossomed. The choice that Jeremiah made, he saw the almond tree, understood what it represented, and said, that's the thing that's going to produce life. That's the thing that's going to bud. That's the thing that contains life in it. And he saw the boiling pot, and he saw that that is full of issues and full of problems. And when the Lord said to him, what do you see? What came out of his mouth was, I see life budding. I see you moving. I see you doing stuff. I see you turning things around. I don't see the negative first and get into the boiling pot and join in. But I see life first of all. See, what does the word of the Lord do? The word of the Lord brings life, not death. Now, he had to go with the word of the Lord, and many people didn't like it. But why did God show him the almond tree and the boiling pot? God didn't just show him the boiling pot because, I mean, the nation was all over the place. That's why he saw the boiling pot. And God wanted him to go with the word of the Lord to tell him that they were all over the place. But why did he come out with the almond tree first? Because God never leaves people in a boiling pot situation. God always brings people into life. And so with the prophetic word, the word from the Lord that Jeremiah came with, he came with, look, nation, you're like a boiling pot. You're all over the shop. You need to get sorted. But with that word came the word of life. Now, what kind of believer do we want to be in this nation? Do we want to be an almond branch believer that's going for the eternal purposes of God? Or do we want to be a boiling pot believer who looks at all the other side of things? Because what comes out of your mouth is life or death. The word of the Lord brings life. When you see what God sees, what do you speak of? You speak of life. Let's use an example. Many people are walking around at the moment, many believers even, saying that we're going to become an Islamic nation. Now that's a confession. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not confessing that over this nation. Because the word of the Lord is not that we'll become an Islamic nation. You see, there are many believers walking around looking at a boiling pot saying this nation is going to be an Islamic nation. They're going to end up having Sharia law. They're going to end up having greater influence. We're going to have less freedom as a Christian. There's loads of that going on. So, you know, we need to, I've seen some stuff on the web and that, where people are talking about we need to find new ways as the church to engage with the Muslims now and some characters that you wouldn't think would talk about some of these things. How can we join and pray together with them? It's like, hang on a minute, this isn't just a few oddballs now that don't really understand the purpose of God. There's some people coming out with this stuff that's like, hang on a minute, what are you doing? What are you seeing? What are you looking at? And God's holding two things up before us as a church or the church in the nation. Do you see an almond branch or do you see a boiling pot? Are you going to pursue my kingdom purposes or are you going to end up confessing something else? The nation was a boiling pot nation, but yet Jeremiah refused to confess that. First, he said, I'm confessing, I'm speaking out an almond branch because something's going to bud overnight. Something's going to change. Something's going to happen. I'm speaking life over the nation. That's God was wanting to see. What is in your heart, Jeremiah? What are you given to? What are you devoted to? And Jeremiah basically said, to sum it all up, God, I'm devoted to your purposes to see this almond thing bud into life, and you turn a boiling pot situation around into something that represents and demonstrates your goodness, your glory, your life. The word of the Lord came to me. When the word of the Lord came to me, the only thing he could speak was what God showed him, the word of the Lord. Yesterday, I didn't go with this intention at all, but I ended up praying quite a lot in the afternoon for young people, for this younger generation. I used to pray a lot for young people and the younger generation and everything. I haven't prayed like that for a long time in the way I did yesterday for these younger guys, but it was like, there was just such a, I don't know, for about an hour, there's, I don't know, spirit of prayer, I suppose, to pray for this younger generation in our own church, in our own town, our own region, in our nation. But none of it was from a boiling pot kind of backdrop of, oh God, do something. It was all from an almond branch kind of view, what God was showing me, what God was saying. It was like, yeah, it was like there was this just release of God's purposes. See, what does that do? It puts something in you that says, God, I'm going to pursue that even more. I'm going to seek you, get in there, your kingdom even more. Why? Because something that God shows you captivates you, and sets you off on something like a dog with a bone. And it's like, man, I'm not going to let go of that because God has shown me something. And I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I'm going to get after this thing because God has shown me something about young people in a fresh way to do with our nation, to do with our area, to do with our town, to do with our own young people. And all of what was prayed was all about confession. It wasn't, oh God, you know, look at the state of these guys and would you do something? That's a boiling pot way of praying. But an almond branch way of praying is, Father, I thank you, you've spoken. And I just release right now your purpose. I release what God showed me, what he said. I just release this. I command this. Pray through scripture. Pray through things. Why? Because I'm releasing almond branch life. Budding overnight. Thank you, Jesus. 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 You know, to do with healing this morning, quite a number of people here, even who might be listening, if you're downloading this thing, there's quite a number of people that you're hearing this thing this morning, and you've been speaking certainly, you've been speaking boiling pot over your life. And God saying, I want you to speak almond branch over your life. There's something I want to bud in your life. Healing and health and restoration. Stop speaking the boiling pot over your body, over your life, over your future. Your future is in me. Your future is one of health. Your future is a long one. Don't speak death over your life in any way. Don't shut down the word of the Lord over your life because you're speaking something else. Don't cut off your future because you're speaking something else. Now, it's not just a change of confession. Oh, whoops, I better not say that. I better just say this. And you end up with a machine gun of positive confession. That's not what we're saying. But it's a revelation. It's like, Father, I repent right now of speaking boiling pot over my body, over my life, over my future. A number of you here have just spoken ill health over your life because you've been confessing, I've got this sickness, or I've been diagnosed with this, or whatever it might be. And it's like the Lord saying to you this morning, my confession over you is not boiling pot. My confession over your life is almond tree, is health, is life, is a long life. There's somebody in here, I don't know if you're a male or female, but you, the age you're at now is when historically in your family a particular illness has struck, if you like, let's put it that way, a number of people in your wider family. And you're right around that kind of age now. And in the back of your mind, there's been this whisper going on. It's you next. You better go and get, you know, just keep an eye on it. It's been this thing just nagging away at the back of your mind, the backdrop of your life, especially now because you're at that age where that has taken place. Well, firstly, you're cut off from that right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever curse of sickness that has afflicted your family, your wider family, you are cut off from that right now. You are not a victim of history and of what has gone on before. That chapter has been shut on your life. Oh, We just take authority over fear right now that has tried to undermine and grip your life. We break that now in Jesus' name. Whoever you are in the room, I'm not going to ask you to come out to the front or to put your hand up, but you need to speak life over your future now. You're going to live a lot longer than the 3 or 4 years from this point that some of your other family members lived as a result of this illness. You haven't got 3 or 4 years left. You've got many decades of life left. Because God hasn't finished with you yet. He's only just beginning. So we just speak almond branch life over you in the name of Jesus. That life that buds overnight. That produces life in Jesus' name. Something's just breaking off your life right now. You know, it's like something, you've just felt this stiffness and this pain and stuff in your back going from the top of your neck at times. I don't know if this is related to whatever illness it is, but at times you've just felt this pain in your neck, and it goes down your spine and stuff. And it's like you've had a few little bits and pieces like that go on recently, and something's just, I don't know, left your, if we put it this way, something's just left your physical body now in the last few minutes. It's like there's a something, you feel free. There's some, you haven't had this sickness, but the lie of the enemy, if you like, trying to bring you under it, has caused your body to respond in some way because of fear. But now that fear is broken, there's a release in your neck and your back right now. From that, that's what fear can do. 75% of sickness is psychosomatic, starts in the mind, ends up then manifesting in the body. That's the way the enemy works. I wonder why so much sickness happens like that, because the devil's a liar. And people believe the lie, and then physically their body take on those symptoms. Man, how sickness works, eh? But how it has been overcome on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know whether you're in the room or whether you're listening on the download or whatever you're doing, getting hold of this thing. If any of you have had any hereditary thing right now, we're going to cut off all this stuff. I don't know whether you've done this before, but we're just going to cut any hereditary stuff off right now. You're not a victim of that. You're not going to suffer from that, because Jesus already dealt with it 2,000 years ago. So you need to just take authority right now over your life. Instead of looking at a boiling pot thing, you're looking at an almond tree. You're looking at life. God confesses life over you, not death, not boiling pot. So take authority right now. Deal with any fear. Just command it to go. Throw it off right now. We just cut off any hereditary curses, sicknesses, things that have tried to bind up people's bodies, emotions, mentally, physically, in any way. We just cut off those things right now. In Jesus' name, you will have no effect on people's bodies and lives. From this day, you are finished in the name of Jesus. And right now, we speak life, a long life, future over your lives and into your lives right now in Jesus' name. Manic depressives, we just cut off right now in Jesus' name. Mental illness, we cut off right now in Jesus' name. Parkinson's disease, we cut off right now in Jesus' name. Dementia, we cut off right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, we cut away right now, cut off in Jesus' name. And we decree life over your life right now, that you are the first in your family to start a new line of people that are full of health, full of vibrant vitality in your bodies. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, just speak life over your life right now. Father, I thank you that you have given life and life in all its fullness. There are no conditions to that scripture. It says, you have come to give us life and life in all its fullness. Therefore, you give us permission to take hold of everything that we are in you and say that that is mine. That is who I am. That is what I have. And therefore, everything else that is not of you is cut off now in Jesus' name. Some of you just need to cut off a poverty mindset, poverty thinking this morning. Because that's boiling pot mentality. You need to deal with it right now. It's temporal thinking that I'm a needy person, or I can't do this, I can't do the other, I can't do that. Cut it off right now. Just repent of any poverty mentality. You know, to have a poverty mentality, you can have loads of money in the bank and still have a poverty mindset. Because poverty, the backdrop of poverty is fear. And actually, sometimes the more money you got, the more you can be gripped by it. So it's not a question of whether you do or don't have something. See, a poverty mentality is a way you think, the way you make decisions, the way you do life. Now, I'm not talking about just suddenly going off the deep end and just, well, I'll just blow all my money and do this and God will supply. That's presumption. That's not walking by the Spirit either. What we're talking about is not having your life manipulated by fear or a poverty mentality. So some of you just need to cut that off this morning. Just put an end to it in your life. This make-do mentality. Are you ready? If that's, well, let's all do it anyway. I'm sure there's some sort of, you know, sometimes for a lot of us there can be a measure of that. But if you know there's a certain thing that's really gripped you, that's a boiling pot thing that God wants to tip out of your life today and instead plant an almond tree in you that buds and produces life and freedom in that area. Father, we thank you right now that you are our supply, that we are rich in you in every way, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. In every way, we're rich in you. We lack no good thing because you are our supply of life and godliness. So we take authority of every poverty mentality, every restriction, every limitation, every make-do mentality. We break that now in Jesus' name. We throw it off right now. We cut that off from our lives, our thinking in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for an understanding of your abundance, Father. Your abundance in Jesus' name. Abundant health, abundant life, abundant in mentally, abundance emotionally, abundance physically, abundance in every way, spiritually. What is abundance? Abundance is overflowing. There's an abundance. There's too much for you to handle, so that the effect of it impacts other people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you, from today onwards, are going to be free from that feeling of poverty. Poverty has a feel to it. It's horrible. It has a feel of, I'm in need, I'm lacking, I haven't got all this stuff. You're free from that right now. You are not a poverty person. Because you don't live in the temporal. You live in the supernatural. You live in the eternal purposes of God. That's where you are. That's your position. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. There are many people that we, all of us will know, that have needs in different ways out there, saved or unsaved, particularly unsaved people. And you have the word of the Lord for their lives. You have the life in you for their lives. It's in you, it's there. When we come into people's lives, we want to be the almond branch in their life, not a boiling pot. That when you step into their home, when you step into their whatever, their lives, and you're with them, you're like an almond branch. Coming with the word of the Lord. That doesn't mean you're sitting down and prophesy over them necessarily, but you're just coming with the life of God. Something that lifts them, something that draws them, something that begins to captivate them, something that just begins to get hold of them. Because you've got life in you. That almond branch life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you have given us life and life in all its fullness. And Father, I thank today, tomorrow, this week, in these coming weeks, particularly as there's a lot of, if you like, more organized outreach going on in these coming weeks. Father, I thank you just for the release of almond branch life into many lives. Father, I thank you that many boiling pot lives are going to turn into almond branch lives in these coming weeks. That some people's lives that look, they just look like a boiling pot, they're suddenly going to bud overnight because of the word of the Lord coming into their lives. Because of something that we're carrying into their lives impacts them from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.